I deeply appreciate the privilege of being in worship service today. I'd like to share some scriptures, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 13 and 33, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come, so now I say to you. A new commandment I give you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." There are different types of loves. There is parental love, the love of a mother for her child, the love of a father for his child. There is romantic love between a man and a woman. There is the love of one's own self. There is the love of a country, the love of a cause. There's people who are willing to die for a given cause because they love their cause so much. But this morning, I would like to speak to you about brotherly love. It is a love that we need very much. This scripture, that we love one another, the Greek word is agapao. Agapao is the love that we are to have for each other within the church. This word, agapao, is a Greek word that means to welcome, to entertain, to be fond of, to love dearly. I thought about the part of love that is to entertain, and it made me think about the scripture, the invitation that Jesus gave. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." That opening up of the door of our hearts to the Lord, if we will do that, he will make his entrance, and we will have a closeness with the Lord that is so valuable, that is so enjoyable. And I believe that is a part of the brotherly love the Lord wants us to have, to be willing to entertain. In other words, we're willing to open the door of our heart to our brethren. Come on in. I want to entertain you. I want to accept you. To entertain, I also thought of the way that Abraham entertained some men that showed up at his tent one day. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground. And he said, My Lord, if I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." I want you to imagine travelers in that day. They didn't have vehicles and convenience stops and hotels at convenient locations necessarily. Travel-weary people, maybe going on foot. And what does Abraham do? He saw these men that he thought were men, and he ran to meet them from his tent door. And he bowed himself toward the ground. Do you see some entertainment here? Do you see some opening up? Do you see some comforting of someone that was travel weary? And said, "My Lord, if I have found favor in thy sight." Now that sounds pretty humble, doesn't it? If I've found favor in your sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. That is brotherly love. Let me aid you in the journey that you're experiencing in life. Come on into my house, partake of my food, and I want you to comfort yourself if I have found favor in your sight. Agapao is the same word used in this other scripture, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Could it be that the type of love that we are to have toward our brother is the same type of love that God has toward us? That we are to have toward God? That we're to have that same type of love toward our brothers and sisters in the congregation. I want you to notice that love one another is a command. Now, it is true that some people are more lovable than others. Is that true? Have you found people that way? That some people it's easy to love and other people it becomes more difficult. Well, since it is a command, it tells me that I am in control of whether or not I love you. It's not just whether or not you're lovable or unlovable or what you've done or not done. The fact that Jesus commanded me to love you tells me I have a choice in whether or not I do it. And since it is a command, it tells me if I want to please God, really I have no choice. I must love you. And you must love one another. We must love each other. We have no choice if we want to please God. Well, sometimes loving people is easy. If someone comes up to you and says, "I have something I want to give you. I've wanted to do this for a long time. Here's a $100 bill." How do you feel toward that person? It's easy to love people sometimes, isn't it? If they show up at your house someday and say, "I heard you were working on a project. I brought my tools. I have my pickup. I'm here all day. And just tell me how I can be of help to you." It's easy to feel love for a person at a time like that, isn't it? When a person comes to you and says, "I sure appreciate you. I want you to be encouraged." That makes it easier to love that person. If you feel like that person loves you, then it's easy to obey the command that Jesus gave us to love them back, isn't it? If you did the person wrong and they forgive you in spite of it, anybody ever done that? Anybody here ever wronged another person? And how do you feel when they have forgiven you? Doesn't that make it a lot easier to love that person? "I did you wrong, but you forgave me anyway." Well, thank you. Loving a person can be a challenge sometimes when their opinion is different from yours. Suppose there are any different opinions in here? Not all of y'all think like I do. So you can be a challenge for me to love, right? Well, whose thinking is right? Is it mine or is it yours? Or is it this brother's or that sister's? Those things can become a challenge to us to love one another. And I believe if we have a group this big, for sure, we're going to come up with at least two different opinions on something. Whether it's the paint color of the Sunday school room. By the way, we have a work day coming up. We're going to have some challenges, aren't we? I remember one time I was at a work day at a chapel many years ago, and I was sweeping the floor. And an older brother came, and he was saying, "Here, let me show you how to do that." I felt kind of humiliated. You know, we have challenges working with other people because we have different opinions of how things ought to be done. I think the floor ought to be swept this way, and you're sweeping it that way. Well, Lord, help us to be able to love one another, even if you have the wrong opinion and mine is right. Because you know what? Someday I may discover it was my opinion that was wrong after all. We have the command to love one another, to welcome one another, to entertain one another, to be fond of one another, to love one another dearly. Who did Jesus love? James chapter 2 and verse 1. Do we get to pick and choose who we love? Let's see what James has to say about this. James chapter 2 and verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth a gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say unto the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, Do not commit adultery, said also, Do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin. Respect of persons in how you treat people. Respect of persons in who you choose to love and not love. So God help us. The question is, who did Jesus love? Jesus loved the poor man in the vile raiment. Jesus loved the rich young ruler that came to him dressed in his fine robes. He answered and said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. And then Jesus, beholding him, did what? Loved him. The rich. But the rich are the ones that oppress us and draw us before the judgment seat, Lord. You mean you love them too? Jesus loved the rich man. Jesus loved the people who had so little power in life, those that were poor, despised. He ate with the publicans and sinners. Who am I to to choose who I'm going to love and not love. That person whose personality is so different from mine, that person who irritates me, you know, some of us are outspoken and some of us are quiet. Some of us are fast and some of us are slow. Some of us believe we're determined and others think we're stubborn. Lord, help us to be willing to love one another in spite of all of these differences that we have. Jesus, beholding him, loved him, but he loved him enough to tell him one thing, thou lackest. Jesus loved the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. What a despicable woman. We have the law here, Lord. What are we going to do about it? She's filthy. She breaks up marriages. Oh, yes, adultery is serious. You know, Jesus loved that woman. Jesus also loved the people who were picking up stones ready to cast at that same woman. Lord, they're hypocrites. You mean you love the hypocrites? Yes, he loved the hypocrites. Who am I not to love a hypocrite? Not to love the Pharisee, the scribe, the deepest of sinners. Jesus loved the ones who spit on him. You ever had anybody spit on you? Maybe not literally, but maybe with their words. Jesus loved those people. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 67. Then did they spit in his face. If you're going to spit on me, at least spit on my feet. They spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee? You know what he was like when they were doing this? He was blindfolded. That's cowardly. You can't even see who's hitting you, and they're hitting you anyway. While you're blindfolded, kicking you while you're down. You know Jesus loved those people? Enough to die for them? Enough to say, Lord, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So my question today is, who should you and I love? Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. If we had our way about it, who would we send rain on? Those who bless us, those that hand us money, those that compliment us, those that have personalities that our personality gets along with? Or would we send rain on everybody? You know, we have control over the blessings that we are willing to give to other people. We have control over the love that we are willing to show and have toward our brethren. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. I believe Jesus' teaching is that we are obligated to love our enemies. So then the question is, what is our obligation to the brethren in the church? Same obligation, isn't it? They're not our enemies. We're obligated to love the brethren, aren't we? Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Galatians 6 and 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So our obligation to love is greater to the ones that are our brethren in the church than it is even to the outside world. Lord, help us to obey the command of Jesus Christ and to love one another. Well, how do we go about doing that? Sometimes it's hard, isn't it? Those different opinions, those personality clashes, those words that are spoken and hurt us. How do we go about loving people that are brethren? As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good. As we have opportunity, do we have opportunity toward our brethren to love them? Let me put it this way, to choose love when other choices are being presented to us by the enemy. Do we have opportunities to love our brethren? When our brethren says something that hurts our feelings, there's an opportunity to love our brother. Let us ever love each other with a heart that is warm and true. Ever doing to our brother as to us, we would have him do. How is it that we love one another? Well, doing is more than saying. Let us do good as we have opportunity, is what the scripture says. But there's more to it than just saying something. Let us read in James chapter 2. James 2 and 15, if a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? So our love should be in deed and not simply in our words. It is more than simply saying, if one of you say unto them, depart and be warmed and clothed. If we can say things, we can express good intentions, but let us put some action behind that, prove that we really mean what we're saying. How is it that we love one another? How about by choosing our words very carefully? Is there ever an opportunity to do that? Does anybody ever wish they would have been more careful on the choice of words that they used, maybe in a delicate situation? You know, that's a part of having that love one to another, is the careful choice of the words that we use, maybe when that brother has offended us, or whatever it may be, that carefulness is an act of love. Proverbs 25 and 11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. There is something about a word that can bring such healing and such hope and restoration. When the heart is sad and lonely and the eyes with tears overflow, gentle words and deeds of kindness fall like sunbeams on the snow. Kind and loving words, kind and loving to each other, gentle words to all we meet. Thus we follow Christ our Savior, proving all his service sweet. We love one another by bearing burdens. I remember getting hurt very badly on the job one time. And I was hurt so badly, I could not do the physical work required to get the job done. some brethren showed up from this congregation to help me get the job done. It touched my heart very deeply. I appreciated it. We love one another by bearing the burdens of our brethren. We see our brother needs help, and we are there to help them. That's an evidence of our love. Galatians 6 and 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What law of Christ? That we love one another. This is a new commandment that I give you, that you love one another. That is His law. And how do we do that? By bearing one another's burdens. The song says, let us help our fallen brother. Lift him gently by the hand. Speaking words of cheer and comfort, point him to a better land. Has anybody ever done that for you? Have you ever appreciated that? Then let's do that to our fallen brother. In this world of toil and sorrow, many hearts are full of care. There are opportunities to show people our love. Plenty of opportunities. Let us live to serve our Master and each other's burdens bear. Love is willing to sacrifice. I'd like to read in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 1. First Samuel chapter 18 and verse 1. It came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. That's brotherly love. There is a knitting together that staves off divisions in a congregation, that helps people long to come back, that makes people want to forgive offenses. This knitting together, this bonding together. The soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Didn't Jesus say, love your neighbor as yourself? And Saul took him that day and let him go no more to his father's house. And Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. When we love people as our own soul, we're willing to commit to each other. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him. Now I want you to understand, Jonathan was King Saul's son. You know what that means? The throne was within reach. But what does he do? He stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David. Love is willing to sacrifice. And gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and his bow and to his girdle. Let's move to chapter 23 and verse 17. 1 Samuel 23 and 17. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee. Thou shalt be king over Israel. And I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. A man who is willing to give up the throne and prefer his brother. And they too made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. How should we feel when our brother falls? David lived long enough to see the death of Jonathan, his beloved brother. 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 25. Here is the expression of David's grief. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war are perished. David was not saying, oh good, now I've got a clear line to the throne. Here's my competition and he's down now. No, how are the mighty fallen? He was knitted as his own soul. There was a brotherly love there that binds people together, that stops divisions, that says, hey, you paint the Sunday school room whatever color you want. It's not really that important to me. Do it your way, brother. How should we feel toward brethren that have fallen? He had it coming. I'm glad he finally got exposed. No, Galatians 6 and 1 teaches us how we should feel toward a fallen brother. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That is brotherly love. Do we have brotherly love for each other? I trust we do. Then let's keep it. Love can wax cold, can't it? Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Sometimes love waxes cold in a marriage, in other relationships with people. Love can wax cold between brethren. It's not enough to simply love your brother. We want that love to continue. And it says in Hebrews 13 and 1, let brotherly love continue. The Bible commentator says, be all of one heart and one soul. Isn't that the way it was in the early morning church? They were all of one mind, one heart, one soul. And what happened? There was the power of God in their midst. There was strength in unity. People were moved and convinced. We have the prayer request, Lord, let 10 be saved in this assembly meeting. How do we accomplish that? By the power of God. How do we get the power of God in our midst? By clean living, by praying down meetings, by brotherly love continuing. Yes, you may come up with a different opinion on work day than somebody else. Is the Sunday school room paint color more important than the power of God being in our midst? My way versus your way. Or is brotherly love so valuable? Are our souls so knit together that we say, there's no way I'm getting rid of that. There's no way I want to say how the mighty are fallen. Paint it whatever color you want. There comes a time that we let some opinions go when they are not compromise of God's truth. There comes a time that we prefer our brother. And we say, go ahead, brother. Let brotherly love continue. Be all of one heart and one soul. Feel for, comfort, and support each other. And remember that he who professes to love God, don't we profess to love God? Oh, I love God. Should love his brother also. Those two are connected together very strongly. They had this brotherly love among them. They should take care to retain it. You mean it takes maintenance? Yes, it does. It's not enough to just have a warm, vibrant, thriving congregation at a given point in history. There is maintenance required. to make sure that that brotherly love continues. Let brotherly love continue for how long? For how long, Lord? 7 times? How about 7 times 70? How about till death do us part? Let brotherly love continue. It is like the love between a husband and wife. It should last a lifetime. I've lived long enough to see the church go through some challenging times. We have had entire families and congregations leave us as a people, and several years ago, there was a vision of how to avoid this type of thing from happening. These are losses. So we launched a plan to have ministers' meetings, and we had one in 2020 and plan to again next year. Here is the meeting purpose: to promote unity among the ministry, to know one another better. These sound like good objectives, don't they? To deal with issues facing our generation and the church as a whole, for the younger ministers to receive counsel from elders, to encourage one another, to feel freedom to ask questions and share thoughts. My question is, how can friends part ways? Now, this question is a question for ministers, but it's also a question for the church as a whole. If we are truly friends, if our souls are truly knit together, if we get to know one another, in spite of our faults and differences, how can we possibly part ways? It's true for our marriages as well, and other relationships. It's worth taking some time to get to know one another, to become friends, you might say, or to maintain those friendships. I want to ask the congregation here this morning, I want to give you a homework assignment to think about. Here's the question: how can we love one another in a greater way? I don't have opportunities to love that person. They're too unlovable. Is that true? No, that is an opportunity to love that person. Their opinions, the words they say are too hurtful. That is your opportunity to love that person. So the question is, how can we love one another in a greater way? John 15 and 12, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another, how? As I have loved you." How did Christ love his disciples? "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." How did Jesus love his disciples? He commanded us to love each other the same way he loved us. So how did he do it? He came and became their servant. He got down and washed their feet. "The Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." "Master, I want to see where you stay. I don't have any place to lay my head. See, I came as a servant. I didn't come as royalty. I didn't come to the king's palaces and the white stallions and the literal armies. I came to serve you. And I expect you to serve each other in the same way." And ultimately, he laid down his life for the brethren. I ask you, is there any way that we can lay our lives down for the brethren in a greater way? What does that mean? I have dreams, I have ambitions, I have plans in life. Are there some of those that I need to lay aside for my brother? That's how we follow Christ. That's how we love one another. By being willing to lay down our lives. Oh Lord, be it far from thee for this to happen. I'll follow you even unto death. Peter, do you know what you're talking about? Lord, I'm willing to lay my life down. Peter, are you really? When an offense comes, you're going to deny me. Lord, I'll lay down my life for my brother. Are you really willing? What if your brother wants a different paint color in the Sunday school room? Are you still willing to lay down your life for your brother? Yes, Lord. Are you willing to give up some time, to give up some dreams, some plans for your brother? Yes, Lord. Lord, grant us a vision of true brotherly love and the power that it will bring in this congregation. Lord, grant us a vision of the souls that it will move and stir, because by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, because you have love one for another. When people see that knit soul condition in this congregation and that binding, they become one to Christ. We want our prayers answered. We want the congregation to grow and thrive. We want to see souls saved. We have loved ones that are outside the ark of safety. How's it going to happen? Love one another with such a fervent love that the outsiders looking in say, I sure wish I had a part of that. I want a part of that. Not, oh, I sure hear things about that congregation and all the divisions and all the talk and gossip and hurtful words. No. I see a love that overcomes those things, and I want a part of that too. May God bless you this morning.